We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in turn on the news, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in turn on the news each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
And then I just, there's good news. Good evening.
Every decision I've ever made in my entire life has been wrong. I will do the opposite. I used to sit here and do nothing and regret it for the rest of the day. So now I will do the opposite and I will do something.
Well, there's no telling what can happen from this.
Upside down, you turn. the Russian invasion of Ukraine continue to escalate, with reports of unfathomable horrors strongly suggesting war crimes, if not genocide. And look, I know this is allegedly a comedy show, and I have just said the most upsetting collection of words since Louis C.K. wins Grammy for Best Comedy Album, but we do need to at least briefly deal with what is going on in Ukraine, and particularly Bucha, site of some of the worst images to emerge this week, because Russian state TV is going out of its way not to. Here is how one broadcaster there spun those terrible images of bodies in the streets.
There are people on the screen that are lying dead in the street with white armbands. What does that mean? It means that after Russian forces left Bucha, the so-called liberators came in and they simply killed peaceful civilians. On the screen, people are moving. That means that actors were also involved. A conclusion out of all of this is that to achieve their media goals, the Ukrainian Kiev regime killed its own people.
Yeah, so that man's official argument is Ukrainians killed their own civilians, who aren't actually civilians, they're actors who are just pretending to be dead, and the Ukrainian government itself is responsible for the real slaughter of its own fake civilians. That is obviously ridiculous and also ignores the first rule of lying. Don't overcomplicate. Russian state TV has been grasping at straws all week, with a presenter at one point arguing, as evidence that Bucha was the site of a false flag attack, that Biden said that Putin is a butcher. Bucha sounds like butcher. How could they not take advantage of such a town? Which is just insane. If bad things only happened in places with names that sounded scary, all of America's worst would be happening in Tombstone, Arizona, Cape Fear, North Carolina, or Hell, Michigan, and not where it actually happens, Tallahassee, Florida. But this flagrant lying is consistent with how Russia's state media has been dealing with this war from the beginning. At first, they refused to even acknowledge that there was a war, let alone address casualties. Just watch what happened last month, when a military officer merely mentioned Russian deaths.
Там реально наши ребята, и Донецкие, и Луганские, и наши силы спецоперации гибнут сейчас. И наша страна, она...
Не-не-не-не-не-не!
Нет, я не хочу это слышать.
Подождите. Нет,
послушайте,
стойте.
Они гибнут все равно.
Постойте.
Они все равно
да
гибнут.
Остановитесь.
Они, подождите
вы
секунду.
Вы не можете остановиться,
что ли? Я просто хочу, чтобы мы
хватит
сейчас встали и почтили память молчанием. Хотя бы минутой молчания наших ребят, которые там все равно сражаются за Россию и за Донбасс.
Нет. Вы можете сейчас остановиться?
Пожалуйста.
Wow. Close call there. Russian viewers almost learned that their troops were being killed until that host jumped up and screamed, whoa, 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 ixnay on the casualties, K. Some truly grade A propaganda work there from the network that brought you shut up about Vladimir Putin's election fraud and poisoning opponents, la, 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 I can't hear you. It seems Russia is determined to deny the obvious and to justify the indefensible here, but that is getting increasingly hard to do. And if you think those bodies are actually actors is as pathetic as it got this week, just listen to Russia24's ridiculous explanation.
This is how the preparation for performance, literally, of military actions in Ukraine is taking place. As you can see, it's quite uncomplicated. Two people in military uniforms carefully wrap the mannequin with tape. Obviously, they are going to pass it off as a corpse.
Look, that is clearly absurd. Not only are the Ukrainian casualties obviously real, that footage turned out to be part of a TV drama being filmed near St. Petersburg last month.
Basically, there are parallel universes, just like our world, but just infinite variations of it. Which means there's a world out there where none of this tragic stuff ever happened.
Yeah, that's not what we're talking about.
Oh.
We were thinking of more of an evil dimension, like the Veil of Shadows. You know the Veil of Shadows?
Echo of the material plane where necrotic and shadow magic...
Yeah, exactly. If that did exist, a place like the Veil of Shadows, how would we travel there, theoretically?
Well... picture an acrobat standing on a tightrope. Now, the tightrope is our dimension, and our dimension has rules. You can move forwards or backwards. But what if, right next to our acrobat, there is a flea? Now, the flea can also travel back and forth, just like the acrobat, right?
Right.
Yeah. Here's where things get really interesting. The flea can also travel this way, along the side of the rope. He can even go underneath the rope.
Upside down.
Here's what Russia's upside-down media world is like. They claim the train station missile strike in eastern Ukraine was committed by Ukraine, despite all evidence to the contrary. This post from the Foreign Affairs Ministry, parroted by pro-Russian accounts on social media, claims the Kyiv regime wants more of its own civilians to die.
Russians who get their truth from the state media are living in an alternate reality.
Every day, Madeline Roach watches the morning news on Channel 1, a top state-run TV channel in Russia.
The Russian army is portrayed as triumphant, as not sustaining any losses, any casualties, and is certainly not committing any atrocities. Meanwhile, according to the state media, it's the Ukrainian army committing atrocities, killing civilians, sustaining heavy losses, and losing territory to the Russian forces.
They deny, they deflect, and, according to Julia Davis, creator of the Russian Media Monitor, they portray the Russian armed forces as liberators.
They're presenting it like the Ukrainians want them there, they want to be liberated, they have been oppressed by this so-called Nazi government, and they welcome Russia's intervention.
Independent news coverage disproves this, but there is almost none of that left in Russia.
Essentially, journalism has been banned now in Russia.
The Atlantic's Anne Applebaum notes that so many journalists have fled the country.
So the true story of what goes on in Russia is now getting harder and harder to tell.
Russians are thus even more dependent on state-owned TV, CNN's Nick Robertson says.
It's no surprise that so many people are just following along with the Kremlin's lines. It's the easiest thing for them to do. They don't see an alternative. They feel powerless. And it's information that they've been fed year upon year upon year by Putin and by the Soviet leadership back in those days.
The government is creating this sort of hermetically sealed bubble that doesn't allow for information that contradicts the government to enter.
Roche is now writing a daily report for NewsGuard, making a record of the false claims. She says others need to know what it's like.
Russians would have every reason to feel proud based on what they're seeing on the state TV.
Is there any way to get to the upside down?
Well, you'd have to create a massive amount of energy, more than humans are currently capable of creating, mind you, to open up some kind of tear in time and space. And then... you create a doorway.
Like a gate?
Sure, like a gate. But again, this is all...
theoretical.
But what if this gate already existed?
Well, if it did, I think we'd know. It would disrupt gravity, the magnetic field, our environment, heck. Might even swallow us up whole.
There has been much reporting about the propaganda posing as news that is being broadcast to the Russian people about the invasion of Ukraine. But there has not been as much reported about the Russian propaganda being broadcast on airwaves in the United States. Russian propaganda is a bit harder to find on U.S. television and radio since the war began, but it is still there. Tucker Carlson continues to parrot Russian talking points on his Fox News show. RT, the English-language news network based in Moscow and funded by the Kremlin, was dropped from YouTube and American cable franchises in early March as the war began. Most of the content from RT America seems to have been erased from the Internet since the start of the invasion February 24th. But there are still five outlets of Radio Sputnik in the United States right now, airing content produced in Moscow and Washington under the Russian government's supervision. One is WZHF, 1390 AM, broadcasting near Washington, D.C. The station is now forced to interrupt its programming of talk every hour to air a disclaimer. Quote, this radio programming is distributed by RM Broadcasting on behalf of the Federal State Unitary Enterprise Raisa Segadna International Information Agency, Moscow, Russia. Additional information is available at the Department of Justice, Washington, D.C., unquote. The disclaimer is because of a Federal Communications Commission rule that went into effect March 15th. The rule was in the works long before the war, forcing U.S. broadcasters to disclose any programming provided by foreign governmental entities. Rossiya Segodnaya means Russia Today, the same Kremlin-controlled media agency that directed RT and RT America. The European Union banned Radio Sputnik after Russia invaded Ukraine. KCXL in Liberty, Missouri, is another station airing Radio Sputnik programming, and Peter Chartel, who runs the station, says he and his wife are being accused of treason. He argues that he's promoting free speech by airing falsehoods about Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Chartel is paid $5,000 a month to air the propaganda near Kansas City. The National Association of Broadcasters on March 1st called on station owners to stop carrying Russian state-sponsored programming. Quote, while the First Amendment protects freedom of speech, it does not prevent private actors from exercising sound moral judgment, unquote, NAB Chief Executive Curtis Leggett said in a statement. Quote, our nation must stand fully united against misinformation and for freedom and democracy across the globe.
I come from the only known solar system with two twin planets, each with its own and opposite gravity. Now in our world, it's possible to fall up and to rise down.
As the world comes together to condemn Putin's invasion of Ukraine, some are asking what more the U.S. can do to stop him. Here to discuss, please welcome Republican strategist Charles Renke, everyone.
Thanks for having me, Seth.
Thanks for being here. How many times have you been on the show now?
I have lost count. I'd say somewhere between 29 and 31.
So 30?
Yep, yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. Now, when Russia invaded Ukraine, quite a few Republicans were actually praising Putin. As a Republican yourself, what do you think about that?
It's always been my opinion that anyone who ever said something positive about Putin should be ashamed. Putin is a weak tyrant who doesn't deserve anyone's respect. I would even go so far as to say he's a moron.
Now, see, that is interesting because I'm pretty sure you've said the exact opposite.
Nah, I don't think that's true.
No. It is. You said it on this very show. Let's take a look at the tape.
In my opinion, Putin's a strong leader who deserves everyone's respect. I would even go so far as to say he's a genius. Okay. That's really unfair.
What's unfair?
Well, you bringing me on your show just to run an old clip of me contradicting myself. I hate gotcha journalism. It makes for a bad interview, and frankly, you should be ashamed.
No, see, that's not what you said the last time you were on the show. Let's take a look at the tape.
I love gotcha journalism. It makes for an exciting interview, and frankly, if you ever did it on your show, you should be proud. Okay, all right. I must have said that years ago.
No, that was in February.
I wasn't on the show in February.
Let's look at the tape.
Happy last day of Black History Month 2022.
It was so weird that you said that at the time.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to be woke, you know, like you, Seth. All right. Wake up! Is that what the kids are saying now? Wake up?
I don't know.
Woke up?
Yeah, okay.
Seth, let's just get back to talking about the issue at hand.
That. Yeah, okay, great.
Putin invading Ukraine is a real crisis.
Roll the tape.
Putin invading Ukraine is a made-up crisis. Seth, you're taking everything I say out of context. For example, I think the Marvel movies are boring and I hate them, but I'm sure you could find some vague generic clip that makes it seem like I love those movies.
Like this one?
Avengers, assemble! All right, this is a textbook liberal hit job to destroy my reputation.
Sure.
What are you gonna do next? Find some obscure radio clip from 10 years ago where I make some crazy comment like, there should never be a black woman on the Supreme Court!
No, but I am gonna play the podcast you did for us last time you were on the show.
To answer your question, I don't believe we should have a black woman on the Supreme Court.
My question was boxers or briefs?
Boxers. Oh, and by the way, happy last day of Black History Month 2022.
Looks like you got me. You know what? You know, I don't need this. I'm never coming back on this show.
No, you've said that before.
No, I haven't.
Roll it.
I'm never coming back on this show. 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 I'm never coming back on this show.
I'm never coming back on this show. Wait, was that last one me?
No, it was me when I dressed up as you for Halloween.
Happy Halloween 2021.
Putin declares it as independent. Oh, that's wonderful. So Putin is now saying it's independent, a large section of Ukraine. I said, how smart is that? And he's going to go in and be a peacekeeper.
I said, of course he's smart, to which I was greeted with, oh, that's such a terrible thing to say.
I'd like to tell the truth. Yes, he's smart.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
The House took yet another step in its attempt to hold the perpetrators of Trump's attempted coup accountable by voting to hold two more Trump aides in contempt and referring them to the Justice Department for possible indictments.
Breaking news. The House now voting moments ago here, just in the last few minutes, to formally hold Trump aides Peter Navarro and Dan Scavino in criminal contempt of Congress. This is what Democrats had projected they did hold together. In the final vote, you see here, 220 in favor of contempt, 203 against. And that updates to now four former Trump aides who served in the White House here or were otherwise former White House officials at the time of the insurrection in the case of Bannon. These four have all been now held in contempt by the full Congress. One of them has been indicted. Steve Bannon is the only one to face that indictment.
Now, Bannon is the only one who's actually been indicted so far, but he is out awaiting trial, which is weird because he already has the complexion of a guy who's gotten a little too much sun in the prison yard. It's also funny that he got busted for coup stuff when he looks more like a dude who got busted for illegally selling reptiles on the Venice Beach boardwalk. What are you looking for, a cobra, a black mamba? I just got a Komodo dragon smuggled in from my guy in Jakarta. So that's four Trump associates who have been held in contempt now, along with all the other former Trump cronies who went to jail, you know, for other crimes. At this point, it's easier to list the Trump aides who aren't in legal trouble. Honestly, now that I think of it, I'm stumped. I mean, Trump's under multiple investigations. Michael Cohen already went to jail. Rudy's being sued for like $1 billion. I mean, I don't know, Scaramucci? I mean, last I checked, Scaramucci's in the clear, right? I mean, I guess that's the advantage of only being there for 11 days. It's hard. Hard to get in too much trouble during orientation. Okay, your desk is here, the kitchen is there, and do you want to bring down the government with us? You do, great. Oh, hold on, that's the president calling. Uh-huh, yes, I'm with him right now. Okay. All right, I'll tell him. I'm sorry, you're fired. Now, Trump is both dangerous and pathetic at the same time, which is true of so much of the GOP these days. It's honestly bewildering. Trump's like one of those cats that gets stuck on a Roomba, but then if you go near it, he'll hiss and claw your eyes out. And, you know, we do need whatever animal control for former presidents is right now, because no one seems to do anything about the fact that a former president who incited a violent mob to attack the Capitol is still actively engaged in a slow-moving coup intent on dismantling democracy. It feels crazy. He's just out there shanking drives and haunting weddings. It's like if instead of a shack in the woods, the Unabomber had a residency at Caesar's Palace. And he's still walking around repeating the lie that the election was stolen. And that's where dangerous meets pathetic. For example, in a recent interview, Trump challenged any Democrat to debate him on his election bull.
Remember, I offered to debate anybody?
Yep.
On the election. You know, I didn't have one person.
No one took you up, huh?
I would get big ratings.
Yeah.
I offered to debate any Democrat politician on the election of 2020, and they didn't because they can't defend it.
Yeah, sure, that's why they don't want to debate you. You're like the high school nerd who said, I asked the head cheerleader to prom, but she refused to go because she can't keep up with my scorching dance moves. Thank you, Arthur Murray Dance Studio. Where were we? Ah, yes. The insurrection. So Trump says he challenged Democrats to debate him, and no one took him up on it. As we said, it's pathetic. And plus, no one's going to debate you again after watching you in an actual debate. Remember that first one with Biden where he couldn't stop yelling out random nonsense like a nursing home grandpa watching Card Sharks, and the moderator, Chris Wallace, had to keep yelling no at him like he was a dog humping a neighbor's leg?
I'll ask Joe.
Mr. President. Mr. President. Mr. President. No.
Can I be honest? It's a very important
question. Try to be honest.
He stood up.
The answer to the question is no.
If Trump runs again in 2024, the Commission on Presidential Debates is going to have to give him a shock collar or, at the very least, shoot him with a tranquilizer dart whenever it's someone else's turn to speak. Of course, that would only slow him down enough to make his voice normal. Folks, we love the debates, don't we, folks? They are very entertaining, I will tell you that. The House committee investigating the coup keeps holding people in contempt, but we need more accountability than that. Donald Trump incited a violent mob to overthrow democracy, and now he's doing it all over again by undermining our elections in advance of 2024. He shouldn't be golfing like a free man. He should be in a courtroom, asking to get out on bail and having a judge tell him.
The answer to the question is no.
Over in Ukraine, we are in week 7 of Russia's supposedly 3-day invasion. The sanctions have had a brutal effect on the Russian economy, so Russia wants to get us back. Last night,
Our intelligence agencies warned that Putin may increase efforts to interfere with U.S. elections. And just listen to this Kremlin-connected pundit say it boldly on Putin's Russian state TV.
It is time for us, for our people, to call on the people of the United States to change the regime in the U.S. early and to again help our partner Trump to become president.
Again help? They're not even pretending anymore. Russia's influence on the former president's campaign is going to be out in the open this time. That's why in 2024, he's already said he's replacing Mike Pence. His new running mate is Potato. I gotta say.
Okay. There you go. Delicious.
It's like a Where's Waldo. Gotta say, that potato has more charisma than Mike Pence. But at least Putin has moved on to the next election, unlike disgraced attorney and rest home gigolo, John Eastman. Eastman is the former president's former lawyer who hatched the brilliant plot to have Mike Pence overturn the 2020 election. And his election crimes have drawn the January 6th committee's attention. They've already gotten his documents and his emails from him, but he's not backing down. In fact, we just learned that Eastman is still pushing to decertify the 2020 election. That's right, the election that's been over for a year and a half, and that Biden won.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.